Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're going to be talking about Episode 2, A House Divided, from The Walking Dead Season 2.
Lots of twos there.
yes.
Yeah. So, the past returns to haunt Clementine in the group after an encounter with a mysterious stranger triggers a desperate escape. Frayed tensions are pushed to the breaking point as suspicion, anger, loss, and betrayal result in death, and for Clementine, a test of loyalty as she is faced with the potential of choosing between a cloudy past and an untested future.
Awesome. Okay, so the episode starts, and you are either with Nick or with Pete, depending on the last choice you made in the last episode, because at the end of the last episode, it goes to shit, and walkers show up, and our group's divided. Nick goes one way, Pete goes another way, Clementine has to choose which one to follow, and that's where you start. So, I went with Pete, so I'll start with mine, and I believe you started with Nick, so
yep.
We'll have you kind of run that in a second. So, with Pete, though, the episode begins, and you're with Pete in the back of an old delivery truck, like a old UPS truck-looking thing. You're locked up inside pretty well, but there are a couple walkers outside. And while you're talking, it's revealed that Pete was bit. We thought he probably was at the end of last episode, but this does confirm it. And he's concerned. A little bit of, like, not trying to act tough, but he's like, man, you know that people will die. You just never thought it would happen to you, is kind of his view. And he's also concerned about Nick, in that, like, how's Nick going to take this? I'm his uncle. I've raised him for a long time. You know, how will this go for him, kind of thing. And so I kind of went the route of, like, Pete, we're going to get you back to Nick. You're going to say goodbye to him yourself. Like, we got this, sort of thing. Like, trying to instill hope. And he was reasonably receptive to it, which was cool. He didn't, shit on it or whatever. He was in. So in the morning, Pete and Clementine decide to try to run for it to make it back to our group and be able to say goodbye to Nick. However, once they try to run, it's clear that Pete can't. His bite on his leg has worsened. He, like, stumbles almost immediately. So he says, you run, go to our group, I'll distract the walkers. We say, okay, and we run off to find the group towards the cabin. You see Pete, fight one of the walkers kind of in the distance and run off.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of crazy, but, yeah, you escape without Pete. So what about with Nick? What happens with him?
So with Nick, it's, not really that similar, I guess. But anyway, you and Nick end up kind of hiding in this, like, shed type thing. And there's, like, walkers trying to get in, and you and Nick kind of both block the door, and eventually, you know, the walkers stop trying to get in. He blocks it with some big, I think, crate or something, and then Clementine starts looking around, and you find some, jars that Nick identifies as, like, whiskey or bourbon or moonshine, whatever.
Okay.
Hillbillies make, I don't know. Probably moonshine. So, yeah, then you fall asleep, and Nick ends up getting super, super drunk and inadvisedly starts throwing the glass jars around the room and making a lot of noise, and Clementine kind of wakes up and is pissed at him. And you have the small option here, like a small choice here, to drink with Nick or not. And being a, 10-year-old girl, I decided not to because, one, that's probably not great for a 10-year-old, but then two, in the zombie apocalypse, you probably don't want to be drunk like Nick.
Right.
And then there, you have a conversation with Nick, and then you leave the shed to find the cabin where everyone's at, or the house. I forget which one they're in, but in my playthrough, Nick came with me, and he, like, distracts some walkers. As Clementine, you can choose to run away or stay with Nick. And I ran away because Nick was super annoying. But from there you end up back at the cabin.
Okay, cool. So it does seem a little similar. You're held up and relate some, but it seems like with Nick it was not as good. He was just kind of being a douchebag.
Yeah, I mean, he's sad, which, like, it makes sense that,
yeah,
you know, but it's fucking dumb to get super drunk in that setting. And I mean, whatever, getting drunk's, honestly, not whatever. But throwing the glass jars at the wall to make a bunch of noise is really stupid.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you're only making your situation worse. I guess if you, like, wanted to get drunk and ride it out, that's not great, but I guess it's better than getting smashed and making a bunch of noise.
Yeah, because then, yeah, you can get drunk in isolation and, like, not have to deal with zombies, I guess. That's fine. But then, yeah, if you get hammered and then bring them to you, you're, like, double fucked.
Yeah, yeah, so, not great.
Yeah.
Okay, so then from here, back at the cabin, Climatine gets there. Carlos and Rebecca ask where Luke's at. And we're like, we haven't seen him. What are you talking about? And they say, oh, he went to go look for you. So we're going to go find Luke. So Carlos and Rebecca leave to go find Luke. And we get left with Sarah, who's Carlos's daughter from last episode, and are sort of unofficially babysitting her slash washing the house.
Yeah. We're also like the same age as her, or maybe a little bit younger, so it's kind of a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird spot because it's like you're kind of in charge, but also like you want to just be friends with her and distract her so she's not worried about stuff. You talk with Sarah, it's fine being friends. She finds a disposable camera and you take some pictures, and your kind of thought is like, for me, I think I guess it would be, I'd want to be her friend, but I also understand that like, I do need to distract her for this to all kind of work out like, well, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty willing to go along with things that weren't wrong. There was a part where she found a gun under, shows you a gun. That she found under the house, and I was like, yeah, you should put that down. Guns are dangerous. Like,
yeah. Kind especially of thing. In her hands. You're like, you're the last person that should be holding a gun.
No, right, right. Because she's not really trained for the apocalypse. Carlos has been pretty sheltering of her, like, protective. And so mm-hmm. It's like, this isn't a good scene for you. Kind of thing. But, so after kind of talking and stuff for a little while, Sarah out the window thinks she sees Luke and runs downstairs to be like, oh, Luke's here. But as she gets closer, it's an unknown man, someone we've never seen, but Sarah seems to be recognized sort of, and is kind of scared of him. So then we've got the option to try to like lock the door or anything, but I didn't do it. I didn't lock the door. It seemed like the guy was coming in anyway. Kind of thing. So the man comes inside the house and kind of looks around and is asking questions. Sarah goes and hides, and we kind of just try to play like cover essentially for her. Mm-hmm. Slash the group. Like, he's asking questions like, how long have you been here? Have you seen this group? And like started describing some of the people in the group. And
you're like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't know who this guy is. And he's kind of intimidating for sure. He's like, and mysterious sort of, and just like poking around your stuff, and you're like, I just basically deflected the whole time.
Yeah. Same. Like, I feel like lying is always bad, especially in a position where he's not threatening you, but like, yeah, it's clear he's not just gonna leave because you want him to, so it's kind of a weird spot to be at.
Right, yeah, so I didn't really lie, but I also didn't go, like, aggressive towards him. I was like, I don't want this guy mad at me, I don't know him.
Yeah, I'm like a little girl by myself. This bad
right.
news.
Right, so I think, yeah, so I just kind of went with kind of deflecting things like, no, I've only been here, you know, a few days. I'm just passing through, I just kind of wander on my own. Like, that was basically what I said. And
yeah.
So far, so good. He kind of paces around the house and is, like, being inquisitive, but not, like, anything finding. But then he finds a picture of Sarah on the ground that we took earlier, and he's like, do you know these people? I thought you said no one was here. And I was like, I haven't seen anyone. And he's like, well, if you see a group of people, you shouldn't trust them. They're bad people. That kind of thing, and we're like, okay. And he basically just leaves at that point because he's figured out what he wanted to know. He figured out where this group is that he's looking for, and so presumably to come back with people with guns kind of thing or something. Like, he's like, oh, yeah. Cool, I yeah. figured out what I needed to do. I'll come get him later.
Yep.
So after this guy leaves. Luke, Carlos, Alvin, and Rebecca show up, also with Nick. And you tell them about the man, and they're all super concerned. And are asking you questions and potentially even getting kind of mad at you. And you're like, how did you let this happen? It's like, he was coming in anyway. I don't know this dude. Like, also, I'm 10. Like,
yeah, like, bro, he could have gotten in if he wanted to, even if the door was locked.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, so the group kind of has a hustle and bustle about it, and Sarah reveals that the guy found a picture of her, and so the group is like, we have to go. Like, we can't stay here. If Carver knows we're here, so they say his name, if Carver knows we're here, then we can't stay here anymore. Like, he's going to come back, kind of thing. And after Sarah reveals the picture, you have the option to take the blame for the picture being found and be like, yeah, that was on me. Or you can blame someone else, which the options for that is you could blame the telltale decision is blame someone else or take the blame. But within the blame someone else, I think your options are to blame Sarah. So being like, she took pictures, or you can blame Carlos and be like, you made me watch her. Yeah. So I think that's kind of how that looks.
Yeah.
So, what did you do for this?
I just took the blame. Yeah, I just took the blame because, you know, I was kind of on babysitting duty and, like, I didn't want to, I felt like blaming Carlos would be bad because he'd get pissed. And blaming Sarah would be bad because I want to be friends with her and she didn't know any better. Like, who would have thought that, like, taking a picture would have turned out, like, really shitty? So, to me, it was like, I mean, I'm, like, taking blame, but it's not really for anything that important. So, that's kind of was my rationale. I was like, whatever, I'll take it as long as Sarah doesn't get in trouble.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I fell under the blame someone else camp, but I just didn't say anything. So I feel like I kind of got screwed on my choice there a little bit. Because, yeah, I wouldn't have blamed Sarah, and I didn't want to blame Carlos either, like, even though I was kind of mad at him. Like, if I would have known that not saying anything would have resulted in this, I would have just taken the blame also.
Yeah.
But I didn't say anything, and I didn't realize it was, like, a key choice in the moment.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Doesn't
seem that important.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a stats kind of choice. Otherwise, I probably would have made something, but I just stayed quiet. So, but when it comes to this, 51% of people blame someone else. So, and then 49% took the blame like you did. So, pretty split, which I'm a little surprised by. I kind of figured it would be more taking the blame. But maybe a bunch of those people are like me where they just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which seems like a fair response to say nothing, which is weird that, yeah, that's weird that it would blame someone else because you said nothing. It seems like it'd be taking the blame more.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was odd. Katie on Twitter said, though, I always took the fall for that, but it was Carlos's fault for coddling his daughter to the point that he needs to distract her. Fair point.
Yep, I also think that's... Also, it's just a picture. Like, I don't... Whatever. I
mean, yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
It seemed like Carver already knew anyway. He didn't need to, like, see the picture. It just gave him 100% confirmation, but it was like...
Yeah, he would have come back anyway.
Yeah, and he, like, saw people's clothes. He's like, oh, I knew a guy who wore a coat like that or whatever. So it's like, he knew before this. He was coming back anyway, but...
Yeah, 100%. Chris on Twitter says Carlos, so she blamed Carlos, which is fair.
Yeah. And then Tej on Twitter said, you told me to distract her, so I believe also blaming Carlos.
Yep.
Which makes sense. I definitely get that. Like, I think if I wonder this, I get, because did you go more of like being Sarah's friend last episode?
Yeah, I tried to be.
Because there was a thing of like, oh, we're best friends, or, you know, you could kind of play it a few ways like that.
Yeah, I did friends. I went the friends route because Clementine should have a friend in the apocalypse, and Sarah's probably the only girl she'll find for a while at least.
That's true. She probably won't find someone her age for a long time. So that is, yeah, I went the friend route too. Which, like, maybe if you didn't go the friend route, like, you would, like, if you were like, fine, I'll watch her, like, for Carlos kind of thing, maybe it'd be easier to, like, blame her. But, like, you told me to distract her, but, like, that seems really mean to say about someone who's your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even if you are going to push it back in their face, that seems like it's like, I'm not really friends with you. I'm just doing what I have to. Like, that seems kind of mean.
Yeah.
So, all in all, though, the group decides, yep, that was probably Carver. Let's get out of here. Because he'll probably come back. On the road, they start, it doesn't seem like they have a real location they're heading to. They're just like, yeah, let's get out of here and we'll figure it out on the way, almost. Yep,
kind
of
just wandering, which I assume is how they got there in the first place, too.
That's probably true. That's a good point. On the way, they find Pete dead, and he's got a bullet in his head, which is pretty crazy. You see that, like, he was eaten by walkers, but it looks like he got shot first. And we were like, that's weird. We didn't have a gun. So, a little ominous.
Yeah. Yes. So, it's safe to assume, at least my thought was like, it's probably Carver or those and his cronies.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, that's probably Carver, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, after walking for a couple days, they see a large bridge that is pretty long and a lodge on top of a hill, like a ski resort, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it looks like one. It's like a big wooden pointed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Which always, it seems like the traditional ski lodge.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does. And so they're like, oh, maybe this could be a good spot for us to post up. Maybe this is safe, and we've walked for a while. Maybe we'd be far enough away that if Carver did make it to our old cabin, that he wouldn't be able to find us here, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they decide, okay, well, we shouldn't all go across at once, because this is a big bridge. Like, what if we get caught by walkers out there, or bad people, or Carver shows up, or whatever? So we say, okay, cool. So Clementine and Luke cross the bridge together, and they've got to fight a couple walkers. There's a part where the bridge gives out.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, some tense stuff going on. But they make it through the walkers, get out of falling off the bridge. They're all good. And they're crossing towards the other side, and an unknown man shows up with a gun. A different unknown man. It's not Carver. It's some other guy. He shows up, but he seems pretty friendly. But, you know, knowing Walking Dead, there is some skepticism, because, like,
yeah,
you know, it's not often you find good people, but you do sometimes. But he seems pretty friendly, and, you know, ask us, like, hey, you know, what are your names? And we ask if he knows Carver, or if he knows Krista. We'd seen Krista. I asked about Krista, but he hadn't seen Krista. But he seems friendly, and then he's like, well, you know, over right at the edge of the bridge, I've got my little spot there. I've got some food if you'd like. You know, you could come relax for a little bit, kind of thing, if you like. And
so friendly.
Yeah, friendly, and enough that we, like, I felt like I was like, okay, cool, I'll check this out. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it seemed to me, it was like, if you're gonna kill us, you would have done it.
Yeah,
already.
That was my thought, is he would have already shot us or robbed us or whatever if he was gonna. But unfortunately, in this time, Nick shows up with his gun pulled out and shoots the guy in the neck. Because he thought that the guy was going to hurt us. So the guy gets shot in the neck and then just falls off the bridge. Dead. And we get to confront Nick here and be kind of like, dude, what the fuck? He was going to help us. I didn't go, like, full harsh on him because it was over. But I was just like, dude, what the fuck? He was going to help us, man.
I went pretty harsh. I was pretty pissed. Yeah, I mean, because I don't know. It just seemed really stupid to run up and just shoot someone, especially if we were just sitting there talking to him for that long, you know.
Right.
Like, he's probably not bad.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I wonder, too, if it's, like, because you were with Nick earlier in the cabin. Like, you're just like, you fucking dumb idiot.
He's just stupid. I mean, like, getting drunk, throwing bottles.
Yeah.
I forget what he did before that. Oh, he was he wanted to, like, shoot us before when they first met us or get rid of... He wanted to get rid of us. He just seemed really rash and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, I'm just over that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And then I think for me, on the other side, it's like, I had the interactions in the last episode, but this one, instead, it was like mostly just sad Nick because Pete's dead.
Yeah.
And I tried to be kind of assuring with that. Like, Pete missed you. He thought you were a good person. Like, I tried to be pretty positive towards him. So I think I was a little more forgiving here with that kind of in mind.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. To me, it's just hard. Like, I don't know. You just killed someone. You can't really just you know, move on. You know, it's not like you, like, drop the food down the bridge. Like, that would be really shitty, too. But I don't know. It's just so permanent. You can't just shoot people. But I understand what you're saying, too.
Yeah. And I think it was more like, yeah, it's fucked up that he shot someone. For sure. I think I was approaching it in the, like, Walking Dead mindset of, like, anyone can be a threat. So, like, you fucking up and doing it wrong is bad. But there are worse things in this world. Just because a lot of times there are bad people. So I think that's sort of how I approached it. And I was just like, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have done it. But I didn't, like, blast him as hard as I could have. But he's definitely a fuck-up. And I think for you having more fuck-up experiences, I could see, I get how you would go that route, too. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately, though, we do cross the bridge. And in the small little store by the road, across the bridge, we do find a small amount of food that the guy was talking about, and also a knife that's pretty nice. So Clementine's got a knife now.
Yeah, badass.
Yeah, cool. But they notice that walkers are starting to cross the bridge from hearing Nick's gunshot. So we head up to the ski lodge and are like, okay, cool. We'll just get up there. Maybe we'll be far enough away that the walkers won't hear us or see us or whatever. Once we get to the ski lodge, we notice it's fortified pretty well. It's like, you know, it looks like it was boarded up for winter kind of thing. And Clementine, looks back towards the bridge, and sees some flashlights, and thinks that they might be being followed, from this kind of warning, and comes down to tell the group about it. And they come down and the group is in confrontation with another group. People are yelling at each other. And we realize that the other group is led by Kenny from
season. Freaking the boy, dude.
Yeah, the boy Kenny is back, which is exciting. You get to hug and reunite. It's super nice. The two groups are like, oh, you guys are friends? Cool. I guess we can be friends. Let's go inside. Like,
yeah.
So, great reveal having Kenny be back. This was awesome. Yeah, really exciting, because the way season one ends, you assume Kenny's dead.
Yeah, for sure they set that up, that Kenny, like, 99% sure that dude's dead. But, yeah, I guess not. The one time in Walking Dead where something good happens that you thought wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, getting him back was really great, getting reunited. After this, we go inside the lodge with Luke's group. Inside, we catch up with Kenny for a little while. He tells us that, yeah, he thought he was done for in Atlanta also. We tell him about what happened with Lee, and he talks positively about Lee and is like, Lee was a good guy kind of thing. We also tell him we were with Krista and Omid for a while, and then just Krista for a while. Kenny says that he ended up meeting Sarita, who is his girlfriend now, who's in this group, and was like, yeah, she met me when I was in a pretty dark place, and she's pulled me out, and I'm doing a lot better kind of thing.
Yeah, that's good. Good for Kenny.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I thought. I was like, good for Kenny. You, like, made it, and, you know, life's getting a bit better, because, of course, his life was pretty tragic in season one.
Yeah, God, yeah, duck dying, wife killing herself.
Yeah,
Like, it's a bad, bad combo.
Yeah, yeah, just rough stuff for all around. After this, we also get a, I would say, like, a nice kind of moment with Sarita and Sarah, which is decorating a Christmas tree. So that felt kind of like a nice calm or whatever in the episode, and for them all to get to do something that was normal before.
Yeah.
Getting to do that. So that was nice, too.
Yeah, it's good for Sarah to, I mean, it's good for Carlos and Sarah, because Carlos wants her distracted. Like, there you go. There's a fun distraction for you.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Cool. And then after this is the next decision, more major decision. So essentially what happens is there's dinner time, and the two groups are kind of at their own separate tables, and you know, you being Clementine are kind of stuck in the middle because you know Kenny from season one, good dude, but you also are getting closer with Luke now in this new group, so you kind of have to decide, do I want to sit with Kenny and his group, or do I want to sit with Luke and the new group I've joined? So that's kind of the decision. What did you do, and what was your thought process on that?
Yeah, I thought this was funny because it was like full like high school, like
yeah, so dumb.
Yeah, it was such a high school decision of like, do I sit with these cool kids or these other cool kids? Like
yeah,
it felt a lot like that, but you felt like the weight of it for sure. Even being like Clementine, who's you know, a little girl who really couldn't be faulted for either choice, in my opinion. But
yeah, or nor should she. It's just where you sit for dinner. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah, that too. But I chose to sit with Kenny. I felt like kind of all in all, like Kenny loyal to, of course, all through season one. He's my guy, and I think again with this, and even in your talking with Kenny in this part, he was like, you know, you can stay with us, even if you're the group you're with, like, go on, you can just stay here if you want. And I was like, okay, I'll stay here.
Same, definitely sticking with Kenny.
Yeah, so that was kind of my thought. It's like, I like Luke and company, they're solid people, but I've also met them, like, this week, it seems like, you know, pretty recently.
like 4 days ago.
Yeah, pretty new friends, basically. And, like, I don't know. I think that especially being Kenny, but maybe anyone from season one I liked, if they were here, I would have stayed with them.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I was similar. I mean, one, I just, like, Kenny's the dude, so I just kind of stick with him. And so far, like you were saying, the new group, yeah, 4 to 7 days into knowing them, I mean, knew Kenny for way longer, went through a lot more together, like, gotta go with Kenny. So I also chose to sit with Kenny. And I'm kind of surprised. So 64% of people sat with Kenny, and then 36% sat with Luke. I'm honestly kind of surprised because I know Kenny can be abrasive, and a lot of people don't like him. So I'm kind of surprised it's that skewed. I feel like most people would probably actually sit with Luke, because from what I remember in the season one decisions, a lot of people chose against Kenny a lot of different times. So it's interesting to me.
Yeah, that is. I am surprised by that, too. Like, Kenny, Kenny's definitely abrasive and has, like, a group of people who are not like us who just always don't like him. We're probably a lot more on the Team Kenny side, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who are like, nah, I don't like Kenny. He's a aggressive idiot.
Yeah, and you see that pretty quickly going forward, but I still, he's the dude.
Mm-hmm. Joe on Twitter said, oh, funny you should ask this. I'm currently playing through season 2 for the first time right now. I'm on episode 3. I sat with Luke's group because this is going to sound awful, but I think they're going to live longer. So I should probably have a good relationship with them. So that's funny.
Yeah, that's fair. That might end up happening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Clarence on Twitter says, Kenny, I played played season 1 to 4 back to back over a few days. By the time I met Kenny again, I missed Lee so much that I needed Kenny as a link to that past. So, yeah, that's, I think, honestly, that's kind of, I remember, you know, when we first played this years and years ago, I think that was the same thing that we felt. It's like, oh, fuck yeah, like, Kenny, were cool with him in season one. Like, this reminds me of Lee. Let's go Team Kenny.
Yeah.
Because we can't go Team Lee anymore.
Right. Yeah, totally. And just getting him back. Like, it was so cool being like, he's not dead. Like, that was so exciting to get him back.
Yeah.
Like, because
I expected to.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was dead. Like, so that was really cool. Last up, we've got T-J on Twitter who says, Kenny, because he's the only competent adult in a group full of pansies. So, so doesn't like anyone else, apparently, but does like Kenny, so that's good.
That's cool. Yeah, nice.
So, after eating, Luke and Nick join at your table. I assume if you went with Luke, it's the opposite, and Kenny comes over to that table. But Luke and Nick join your table, and they argue with Kenny. And are kind of like, well, what are you going to do to stay safe? And, like, it's kind of like a who's got the biggest balls kind of contest sort of thing. Like, they're both trying to act tough. Like, Luke and Nick are trying to act competent and tough, and Kenny's doing the same thing back at him. Like, they're just being stupid.
Yeah.
But then while you're talking, while they're kind of arguing, Kenny accidentally calls you Duck. He says, like, hey, Duck, could you pass me whatever? And we're like, what'd you say, Kenny? And he's like, what? And he's like, you called me Duck. Which was weird, and this gives you a sense that, oh, Kenny's maybe not fully well.
Yep.
Like, him calling you Duck by accident's pretty weird.
Yeah, it kind of made me rethink, should I stay with you? I don't know.
Yeah. You're
a little crazy.
Yeah.
But still Kenny. I don't know.
No, yeah. It was a little concerning, because it was like, oh, that's like, yeah, you're... your mind's not quite right, sort of thing. So it was a little weird. Mm. Or, you know, set off, not alarms, in a concern alarm kind of thing. Like, oh, okay, I should watch out for this kind of thing. See how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then Walter asks Clementine to talk. Walter is one of the guys in Kenny's group. So Clementine and Walter talk. And while you're outside talking, Bonnie from 400 Days... episode comes and asks for food and says, you know,
yeah, she's looking pretty rough too.
Yeah, she is.
Well, I guess she kind of looked rough in 400 days, but to me, she looked
rougher here to me.
Kind of shittier. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She looked rough and she was like, please, could you like give us some food? My kids are like down the slopes and we need help. And at first we were like, we could come with you. And she's like, I can just take it. It's okay. And so we were like, all right, sure. And Walter gives away, like, a box with some food. Kenny is out here at this point and kind of doesn't want to, but Walter seems to be just a pretty generous spirit who's kind to anyone he meets kind of thing. So he was like, you know, we've got the food, Kenny. Don't worry about it sort of thing. So gives Bonnie a little bit of stuff. Bonnie heads off. After this, you go back inside and you talk with Luke. And Luke tells you that the man on the bridge that was killed by Nick is Matthew. And that Matthew is Walter's husband, probably?
Yeah.
Or
I think so.
I would assume husband. Maybe boyfriend, but probably husband. It seemed like they had been together for a really, really long time and had, like, a, you know, strong relationship.
Yeah.
Because while we're there too, Walter or other people are commenting like, oh, Matthew will be back. He'll have some ideas. So it seems like Matthew is actually probably the leader of this group. And maybe Kenny's kind of your number two.
Yeah, or Kenny just thinks he's a leader like he did in season one.
That's also true. Which was interesting, just kind of how everyone talked about Matthew. Matthew seemed really great. But anyway, Luke says, yeah, that was probably Matthew, and that knife you have is probably Matthew's. You should throw that away, you know, so we don't get caught. And in this, I said that we should tell Walter about what happened and have Nick explain it. I think my thought in large for this was for both, if our group is going to be, like, reconciled and, like, have to be a group after this together, this needs to be dealt with, and it would probably be good for Nick, too, that he could, you know, own it and move forward or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I said the same thing. It also just felt weird to me to, like, let's just hide this, like, Matthew never died. It just seems pretty cruel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, especially because people are nice. It's kind of like, yeah, you can't do that. If Walter wants to kill Nick, eh. Don't overly care, but...
Yeah, and not that, like, I want Nick to die, or that if Nick was a character I liked more, even, I think I'd still do it. Like, it's like, we've got to, you know, to have our group function, this needs to be dealt with, however it is, kind of thing. But I think Luke was kind of hoping to basically avoid it, and then they'd leave the next day and not have to deal with it.
Yeah, which, you know, isn't crazy, but still.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I get how he would want to do that, but yeah, I think it's kind of fucked up. And I think being Clementine and knowing Kenny, no way. Like, maybe if these were people you'd never met, I could see that. Like, being an option I would have considered more. But,
yeah.
You know, like, if it was like, I've never met these people, I'm not staying here, we're leaving tomorrow, I could maybe see it. I think I'd still want to tell the truth, but I could see debating it more. But for this, I was like, no, these are, like, our other friends. Like, you can't do this.
Yeah. And, like, just the rule, being honest is generally almost always good. As, like, in this kind of game, like, it just seems bad to lie. It's gonna find, someone's gonna find out anyway.
Right. Yeah. 100%. So from here, though, you still do go to find the knife, and it's missing. And you look out front on the porch and you see Walter with it. So this leads you to your next key decision. You go outside to talk to Walter. He's sad and angry and reminiscing and stuff. And he says, yeah, I gave this to Matthew when we did, you know, this one trip. You know, talks about how strong their relationship was and how much Matthew meant to him and stuff. And you're like, fuck, this is rough. And he's like, he's probably dead, you know, kind of thing. And so you have the option at this point to either tell the truth, or you can lie to Matthew and be like, oh, I just found this on the road or something. So it looks like we both decided to tell the truth, which 56% of people did, but 44% of people lied about Matthew. So why'd you tell the truth?
It just seems bad to lie. I felt bad for Walter also. Like I think, like you said, I didn't want Nick to die, but like also, like, dude, fuck you, Nick. You shouldn't have killed this dude. I'm not going to cover your back for it.
Right.
Yeah, so that was mainly I just felt bad for Walter.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I just told the truth and kind of went with, yeah, same thing. I felt like I got to have my pre-decision basically in that conversation with Luke, and then here I just was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Jennifer on Twitter says that she did tell the truth. I was apparently a lot more honorable in season 2 than I have been in season 3. So, I'm guessing season 3 shit's getting crazy for her. So that's fun.
Yeah, fair. Logan on Twitter says yes. So he did tell the truth, like us.
Nice. Cool. So from here, as we're having this conversation, Nick strolls out into the conversation, and can explain himself further. Oh, I think in this conversation, too, where we tell the truth about what happened, Walter asked us if Nick is a good person or not. And I said he was. I was because he was like, is he an asshole like everyone else kind of thing? And, you know, he doesn't care about anyone. And I was like, that's not him. He is a good person. He's a fuck up, but he's not like evil or like out for himself.
Yeah, and... yeah, I felt similarly. I definitely don't like Nick, and I don't care if he gets killed or not, but he's not a bad person per se. He's just stupid. So I think I went the same route. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and trash this dude, but he is just idiotic. I don't know.
Yeah, so that was kind of the route I went. And so Nick comes out, though, in this, and Walter's like, Clementine told me what happened. Nick's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, he, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a little tense, but it's, it didn't like evolve into a fist fight or something. Like, it's a little tense, but we're interrupted because the windmill nearby is spinning really, really fast. So they've got a windmill that does solar power for the ski lodge, but the wind picks up. There's like a storm coming in, and it's going really, really fast. And so the like voom, voom, voom is really loud and is attracting walkers from all around, or can. So we're like, oh, fuck, we got to turn this off so that we don't bring, you know, all the walkers for miles into where we are.
Yeah.
So we do turn it off, but it does draw a fair amount of walkers near. And we have to fight some walkers. It's a pretty crazy, like, melee going on. Like, you see probably all of your characters get a couple kill shots in, kind of thing. It's pretty crazy. Like, you hide under a picnic table and, like, stab a zombie in the head when it's coming to get you. Like, it's pretty fucking wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of quick time events here, for sure.
Yeah, there is. Also in this is, I guess, a implied decision, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, essentially, like, Nick gets, like, cornered by walkers, or, like, he needs help, essentially. And Walter is the only one that can do it, like, shoot the walkers off him or whatever. So, either, it depends on, like, what you told Walter earlier, like, if Nick's good or not, that you would, I guess, convince him to save him or not. So, it looks like both of us, because we didn't shit on Nick to Walter, we both convinced Walter to forgive Nick and, you know, save his life, essentially. So 56% of people were in that same boat. And then 44%, I guess, told Walter that Nick sucked, so he let him die.
Yeah. Yeah, so when Nick's, like, getting trapped here, Walter just shoots the walker off of him. But if he doesn't, then Walter just walks away and lets Nick get eaten. So.
Yeah, pretty savage.
Yeah, yeah, pretty wild. Chris on Twitter said that Walter shot the walker for Nick, so same as us.
Yeah.
So from here, the mayhem's going and our group's, like, getting ready to run inside. Like, we've fought who we can outside, we've got to all make it inside. And on the way in, Carver, Bonnie, and two other guys show up with AK-47s and just blast the rest of the walkers. Just mow them all down. And they capture most of our group. They capture a lot of our group. Kenny and Luke are outside somewhere. They're not captured. And then we are on the top floor of the ski lodge with Alvin and Rebecca hiding up there. And Carver starts beating the shit out of Carlos to get the rest of the group to come out and surrender.
Yeah, pretty savage.
Yeah, he, like, is breaking his finger, punching him in the face. Like, he's fucking him up pretty good. Which leads us to our last decision, which is we can sneak off here to go find Kenny, or we can surrender. I chose to surrender. What did you do?
Yeah, I did the same thing. It seemed like... I couldn't see it getting any better. Like, he's going to keep torturing Carlos and maybe move on to someone else. Like, I'm just going to pull the plug on this.
Yeah, that was my thought, too. I was like, I don't know that, like, finding Kenny will do much for us, kind of thing. Like, we've got to just surrender and deal with this later, kind of thing. Like, we're not going to win this. We're not winning this fight, I don't think.
Yep, definitely not.
Yeah. 56% of people did that, though, and 44% of people went to go find Kenny. Daniel on Twitter says, the first time around, I think I surrendered, but looking for Kenny is a better option, in my opinion. Also, great job by Michael Madsen as Carver. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's awesome. We got Tej on Twitter says, Kenny, fuck that surrender shit. Least I got to stay on his good side while Carlos suffered, done and done.
So,
that's savage.
Yeah, other route. Kenny shoots one of Carver's guys by the window. So Carver decides to take Walter up to the front of the room. He puts Carlos back kind of in the lineup of prisoners. He grabs Walter, pulls him out front, and then just shoots him in the head. And is like,
it's fucked up.
Yeah. And he's like, that was for my man. Now you can surrender. And we're like, all right, this dude's fucking wild. Like,
yeah, he's nuts.
he is even more of a threat than I thought. Like, that's pretty savage. And then he brings Alvin up and is like, all right, you're going to surrender or am I going to have to kill him too? I run up and get in the way between Alvin and Carver's gun. And I get like pistol whipped for it. But yeah. And then Kenny surrenders after that for me.
Yeah, because you're about to get blasted.
Yeah. Is that what you did too?
Yeah.
I guess if you, I guess what can happen is if you don't do that, or if you're with Kenny instead, he can end up shooting Alvin here too.
If you won't, shit.
Yeah, if you won't surrender. And then he'll take Sarita up there, and then Kenny will surrender no matter what after that.
That's good.
Yeah, but so that's pretty crazy that you can, like, it's pretty crazy that you could have Alvin and Nick both be dead in this episode, like, depending on how things go, which is kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
From that group. But Kenny surrenders and Carver just assumes that Luke ran off. He's like, well, he was always out for himself anyway, so I'll take the rest of you back as my prisoners, kind of thing. From here, our surrendered group heads back to Carver's camp, and the episode ends.
Boom.
Yeah. So general thoughts, do you have any other kind of thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I think it's like, I'm definitely like a, you know, ride or die with Kenny, whatever. But even so early on, like Kenny versus Luke, it's still pretty difficult. It's like Luke's really warm. He's friendly. He's like one of the guys that vouched for us when we met this new group. So it was slightly difficult, I think, to choose against Luke, especially because they made it so dramatic. I don't think that'd be an actual decision you'd have to make in real life, but it was still pretty difficult in the game.
Yeah, I thought so too. It was like you trying to kind of balance your new friends and your old friends or whatever kind of thing. And I thought they did a pretty good job of it. It was hard to, because I do like Luke. Like, getting to this stuff, I was like, well, if I have to choose, because I think that, I don't remember if this is exactly how it went, but I feel like when we first played the first game back in the day, we were like, okay, cool. We're Lee. All right, Clementine's number one priority, Kenny's two, and then everyone else, like, we'll filter as we can, but our allegiances kind of tend this way. And for this one, I think that I remember being like, okay, we're Team Luke, but then Kenny shows up and we're like, all right, I guess we're Team Kenny, then maybe Team Luke, and then everyone else, like, but they were putting Kenny versus Luke kind of to each other, so that was sort of a hard thing to reconcile.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. Yeah, they really forced you. I think they set that up well. They made you kind of like Luke, and then they throw you someone from the last game, and they're like, all right, pick one. It's like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, yeah. I guess in a related manner, I forgot that we met up with Kenny so soon. So, you know, as we mentioned, we have played this back in the day, but I'd forgotten. I was like, oh, maybe it's like halfway through the season. You know, I thought it was maybe like end of episode 3 or something. And so I was surprised to see him so soon. And I was like, oh, wow, he's in this pretty fast.
Yeah. I did remember him. Oh, sorry. I remember the ski lodge and Kenny, but that was like, I didn't know what episode that was. So yeah, I was pretty surprised too.
Yeah, I remembered ski lodge and Kenny too. And so once like the ski lodge happened, once it was like, oh, we're going to the ski lodge, I was like, okay, we probably meet him this episode then. But even then, I kind of thought we might meet him at the very end of it and then it would be over. But instead, we meet him and there's still like half an episode, 2/3 an episode left. So that was kind of cool. I didn't expect that. And I guess on a similar vein, I'd forgotten a lot about this episode. And so a lot of it felt pretty new. Like, I forgot about Walter entirely. I remember Matthew. Yeah. I remember Matthew getting shot off the bridge, but I didn't even remember who he was. I was like, this guy gets shot in the neck, doesn't he? Like, when I
remember. Yep, you're right.
I remembered that that happened, but I didn't remember any context around it, you know, or even like the other stuff with people, like I didn't remember Bonnie showed up here or something, like any of that kind of stuff. I was like, I just remembered Kenny at the ski lodge and a guy got shot in the neck, but everything else felt pretty new, which is kind of cool that, like, for a game played, it still felt sort of new, which was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. I think it's the game I remember the least of the Walking Deads.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it definitely felt like I didn't remember a lot of this stuff either, which is, it's kind of exciting. It's fun. Like, it's like, oh shit, this thing and that thing. And you know, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking that, like, there'll be no spoilers here, but I was thinking that, like, I probably remember a couple, like, key story beats or moments over the next few episodes, but that's about it. Like, a lot of the details will probably feel pretty new. And I imagine the same thing would be true for season 3 also. Like, all right, I remember a couple, like, big things, but I bet there'll be a lot that I don't remember whenever we play those someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, same.
Which is cool. Like, it's cool because season 1 did feel a little bit more familiar going through it, whereas this feels a lot more like, I don't know, what did happen?
yeah.
Which is,
who were the characters? Yeah.
Yeah, which is fun. Like, the people looked familiar, and I was like, okay, I think this guy or whatever, but, like, yeah, it's kind of fun that it's sort of new.
Yeah, definitely. I think, my final point of general thoughts is I like Carver. I mean, he sucks. He's not good, but he just feels kind of like Negan to me, where he's, like, super savage, will, like, just fucking kill you, but he's also, like, low-key kind of persuasive or charismatic, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, he just felt like this game's version of Negan. Less like, powerful, whatever, but similar feels, vibes.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wonder if, I don't know the timelines for, like, when Walking Dead was being released. I wonder if Negan was a character in the comics when this came out as a game or not. Like, if it had gone far enough. I feel like that would be an interesting thing to know, kind of thing. Like, if which one came first or how much sooner or whatever.
Yeah, like, if they were just like, oh, that's a cool character, and kind of used the comic book Negan as a reference point for this guy. Very possible.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think Carver's great, too. My other comment does sort of go along that line, too, is one, I really like having Michael Madsen as Carver. So Michael Madsen's like, he was in Reservoir Dogs, he was in Kill Bill, you know, stuff like that. He's a good bad guy in things. I think he's a bad guy in a Justin Bieber video also, which is funny. Yeah,
that's
which
random.
Is funny. Yeah, I think that's from, I feel like that's probably being old and maybe needing money.
yeah,
but,
fair.
I think he seems like the bad guy in that, though, which I was like, what's he doing in this video? But he's a good bad guy across a lot of things. And then I also found out, I didn't realize this, Scott Porter is Luke's voice actor. And he was Jason Street, the quarterback who was paralyzed in Friday Night Lights.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah, which I hadn't realized it, but then I read that and I was like, oh, wow. So kind of cool seeing those. But then it also made me think, I wonder if this is the first time that Telltale used, like, major actors as their voice actors in their game. Because especially Michael Madsen, like, he's a legitimate, like, movie star, I would say. Like, he's in movies.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of any other ones, but I also, like, am not great at recognizing voices.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't played, like, all the Telltale games. I know that the Game of Thrones one used all of the actors from the show, but that was sort of different. Like, that's getting people to keep playing their character as opposed to, like, you know, hiring a famous actor to voice a character. Like, it's not like having Norman Reedus be the guy in Death Stranding or whatever.
Yeah, that's a little more extreme, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like way bigger kind of thing. So, I don't know. I'm not sure. Obviously, video games have used big actors in games plenty of times, but yeah. But yeah, kind of cool though to have, bigger actors in the game and providing some voices.
Yeah, definitely cool.
Cool. I guess last up, a little bit of listener feedback. First up, we've got Daniel on Twitter who says, "Looking back, this might be my favorite episode of the whole franchise. Carver, Clementine, Kenny's return, other great characters. Sarah wasn't too annoying. Double crosses, couldn't ask for much more." So, yeah, this is a really cool episode. I feel like, I really liked it. And for not remembering a lot of stuff, like, there's a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah, it's definitely really good. It's weird, like, because a lot of stuff did happen, but I don't... It's weird, this is one of the ones I wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
Because so much stuff did happen in it, but that's a good point about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, looks like listener feedback. Last up, we got Chris on Twitter. Said, "An episode that really had me fear Carver as a villain and wanted him dead immediately as soon as he started hurting people at the lodge." So maybe kind of like Negan. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That was not our last listener feedback. I misread.
No, you're good. Yeah, that's true. And I think it does have that Negan feel. The first time you met Negan, you were like immediately afraid of him. And you were like, we've got to kill him. And like that's how it felt in the show. And that is certainly how it feels with Carver here. It was like, all right, this guy's got to go. Like, and afraid. You're like, he could kill our whole group here.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of thing. Last up is Harley on Twitter who says, who's got a quote here. It says, "White's in trouble, three moves away from checkmate. That's all I remember." Which is what Carver said when he first found their cabin and he saw a chess game out on the table there. Which is good.
Smart.
Yeah, smart, and also kind of a good low-key threat in his whole intimidating spiel there.
Yeah. I wonder if Clementine didn't pick up on it, but
yeah, she might not have, but to me, to me as the player, I certainly felt the like, you're saying I'm three moves away from checkmate, aren't you? Like,
yeah.
Like, it kind of felt that way, which is cool. Like, again, well done with their villain. And, fun stuff.
Yeah, very well done.
Yeah, cool. Well, that is our episode. So, if you've got any other thoughts on Walking Dead Season 2, definitely send them our way. We'd love to keep talking about it. You can go on Twitter at StoryEverPod and engage with us on there. Also, if you want to listen to our backlog of other Walking Dead episodes, those are available on our website, thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. We've reviewed season one and also the final season, and we're making our way to the final season again, I guess, with this. So, But yeah, there's those, also a bunch of other games, so feel free to check that out. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. For as little as $1 per month, that will get you access to some topical episodes we've got on a variety of things, like our favorite games from childhood, or we rank the Life is Strange episodes, stuff like that. If that interests you, we'd certainly appreciate that support. And if you don't want to support the podcast financially, but you do want to help out somewhere, that would be totally appreciated too. A big way you could do that is by going to Podchaser or Apple Podcast and rating and reviewing the show, just to help increase visibility, that we could have more people kind of enjoying these games together with us. That would be a lot of fun. And that is the episode, and we will see you next time.
See you.